This is Agriculture, our Life Wire, a program for rural development. Agriculture, our Life Wire, every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. with a repeat broadcast on Sundays at 8:30 p.m.
Hello and welcome to the program. My name is Manti Irene Ayonge for presentation. Today on the program, we would continue with our journey on traditional African vegetables. And in the course of the journey, we'll learn about the importance of these traditional African vegetables to our diet and health and how it can help strengthen food security in our homes and Africa as a whole. We would equally take a field trip to some vegetable farms here in the Southwest region. Visit a vegetable farmer who grows and sells traditional African vegetables. Listen to some participants who attended the 5-day workshop on nutrition and income that took place at Irad Ekona, and of course, our main guest on the program. Stay tuned.
This is Agriculture, our Life Wire.
In Africa, many people were not eating the vegetables which grew in their backyards. Instead, they were going to the market to buy the things which they couldn't grow. They spent more money to buy less nutritious food. And because these are less nutritious, this hurts food security in many homes. One big advantage of these traditional African vegetables, such as amaranth, that is green, African nightshade, commonly called huckleberry, or better still, contrijamanjama, okra, jute malo, that is kreng kreng, eggplants, fondly called njakatu, is that people in their communities can grow them in their areas and the vegetables are adapted to the local climate. Therefore, the frequent failures of rain are less likely to affect them, and local people know how to cook them, for it is part of their culture. In terms of food security, growing local vegetables improves their chances of having something on the table throughout the year and also something extra to sell in the local market for income. The economy of Africa is advancing every year and people have little money to spend on other things. People equally are getting more and more conscious of their culture. People want to go back to their roots, and food is a big component to our tradition. Our traditional African vegetables are very rich in nutrients and they vary. There are many types of leafy amaranths, but generally, amaranth or green is rich in vitamin A and iron. African nightshades, or better still, huckleberry or contrijamanjama, is rich in calcium. Another vegetable some of our listeners may know is moringa. The most common type is known as Moringa deifera. It is normally dried and ground into powder, and it is found in supermarkets or even our local markets. Moringa is known as a miracle of vegetables because it is rich in almost every nutrient you can think of, including some of the rare minerals the body needs. Every vegetable has its own advantage, and that is why it is a good idea to eat as many different vegetables as possible, so we can take advantage of many types of nutrients found in them. Besides the nutritional value of these vegetables, there is also the medicinal value, for many of these vegetables are good for the stomach. One of them is jute malo, that is kereng kereng. When one is anemic, there are vegetables like the spider plants. When suffering from tonsillitis, you see some people taking a good dose of African nightshade, that is contrijamanjama, because some people believe that it is good antibacterial and that it is good for the throat. The reason that has prompted many people to have interest in traditional African vegetables are quite many. One is the fact that many people are now aware of their health and are trying as much as possible to eat healthy. Secondly, people want to diversify and eat other things. Health-wise, others think it's quite good, and many doctors have suggested people should diversify their taste in vegetables.
recipe. I love vegetable. Vegetable is very good. For example, today I've come here now, I've bought the green.
I can buy this small vegetable. I overline me vegetable like this country in Jamajama where they see what they carry and so. It'd be very good for my health. Then you see green. I consume my every day. Every day I cook and for my house. Even my picking they like them. You know, if it be 1 week when I no cook vegetable for my house, especially green. Wait, kene as you see, and for yes, so a vegetable, then that's what they consume.
I've come to Bokwango market to buy huckleberry to go and prepare for fukon and jamanjama. I consume it twice a week, Tuesdays, Thursday, that is Munya market, and Saturday.
I consume vegetable at least 2 days. I like eating huckleberry green. Even my soup, I wish that my vegetable should be in the soup, that all around the clock is vegetable.
I come market for come buy vegetable. I buy na green because I know say it be very good for my health. Now so I do obele. And vegetable, they say it give blood. And they advise you for hospital mood to chop.
On the program, we equally talk to Madam Eunice, a vegetable vendor at the Bokwango market, and sought to know from her how thriving the vegetable business is.
Good morning, madam.
Good morning, sister.
What type of vegetable are you selling here in the market?
Yeah, I'm having green, huckleberry, water leaf. Times I used to have okra.
So do you cultivate them or you go and buy and sell?
I'm buying it from farmers. So I'm doing the buy and sell. I know the various type of vegetables. Certain ones that they pull fertilizer and there are some that are not fertilizer. Customer knows me because I know the right vegetable to give to anybody. The one that does not have fertilizer and the one that has fertilizer.
So do you make a lot of profit?
Not other than a lot, but I'm able to meet up with my family.
That was Madam Eunice, a vegetable vendor at the Bokwango market. Our field trip alongside participants from Western Central African countries who had been attending the 5-day workshop on traditional African vegetables for nutrition and income will take us to some vegetable farms here in Fako Division, beginning with the vegetable hop at Irat Ekona, where a variety of the traditional African vegetables are being grown. Wow, they look so fresh and green.
Dr. Maxeline, you've just visited a vegetable hop at Irat Ekona. So what do you think you can share from your country, Burkina Faso? Is it the same like what you have there at Burkina Faso?
We share the same constraints in seed production. We have noticed here attacks in Burkina Faso. We have also attacks, but we use bio pesticide. And here I noticed also a conference has a African nightshade fructification, early fructification. In Burkina Faso we have the same constraints, seed production. I also noticed that here we have water. Burkina Faso is the Sahelian country. Water constraints is very high, but we use wells and boreholes for seed production. So I think we can share pest disease and practical technical production. We can share.
My name is Richard Yao Ejare. I'm from Ghana. I work with Savannah Agricultural Research Institute, based in the northern part of Ghana. Over the years, we've placed more emphasis on exotic vegetables, cabbage, carrot, lettuce, and those things. But we realized that these traditional African vegetables are with us. They are very adaptive in our environment, and they are very nutritious. So we are creating the awareness so that our people can grow more of it, consume it, and also make it as a business so that it will improve on their livelihoods. Since we came here, I've been impressed about the way Irad is handling his side of the project. We've seen much of dissemination work. They've trained a lot of farmers. And this best practice app serves as a source or a point where partners who are interested in the project, who are interested in vegetables, they come for training, they come for advice, so that they come for to buy seed so that they can also produce them and then improve on their life.
You do share some of your experience from Ghana here with research scientists?
We've shared our experience in the attitude of our farmers, in the yield attributes, and in the economic aspect of these vegetables. And it cuts across. We are making progress, and it will be good to intensify on our activities so that our farmers can really benefit from this project.
And one of the participants from Irat, Cameroon, Dr. Justine Okole, leads the garden tour of the participants to the vegetable hub.
This is a best practice hub, and the whole concept of best practice hub is to develop simple, efficient techniques which we can disseminate to farmers. So here we have most of the traditional African vegetables that we have been testing, we have been producing seeds, are being cultivated here, like the nightshade, which is huckleberry, like the another form of jagat, which is called anchia, and then the garden egg too is nest here. We also have amaranth, that's the green, okra, the fluted pumpkin, that's the okongabang, you know, all those things, even water leaf. So we do experiments here. We try to develop, you know, new techniques in terms of pest management. What are the different pests that are found attacking these crops? How can we reduce them? If we rotate the plants, does it reduce the amount of insects or diseases? If we rotate the plant or we consider spacing, appropriate spacing, 30 by 30, 20 by 20, 60 by 60, does it reduce the infestation of the pest? Does it reduce the severity of disease? Does it improve on the growth, the yield, and all those type of things? So when we do those things here, we get the best results. Then when we are training farmers, we are going to the different target sites, we extend, we tell them, for you to have high yield for huckleberry, please use 30 by 30. Those are the best spacing that we've gotten. For you to get good huckleberry that does not really have a lot of diseases or pests, you should use this, you should plant in lines and use this spacing, 30 by 30, because that is what we have seen in our research results, in our hub here. So those are the things. So we try any traditional African vegetable we have, we try here and see what is happening, how they grow. We have seen some that we have problems with seeds. You plant or you nest the seeds, just about 60% germinates. You know, so what can we do to improve on germination rate? When we package seeds, we test. If we soak the seeds about, let's say, one day, a whole night, if we nest, what is the germination rate? If we soak in pure water, cold water, salt water, or in acid, what will be the germination rate? So we're looking for different techniques that can improve agronomic practices. So that's the basis of the hub. And then producing seeds too.
Okay, we have research scientists from other African countries. You know, they might have their own experiences that way. So what are some of the shared ideas that brought here?
Normally, we have been going to all the countries. The issue of even best practice hub was seed in Burkina Faso. So when we get there, we saw how they were doing. Their own is very large. It's about, you know, about 30 hectares. So we saw it and we said, no, we'll see how we can start on small scale. And then from time. So the issue of hub, they are sharing the experience. When we meet in the meetings that we are having, they share experience on what are their own techniques that they are using. So we can try their techniques, but it is better for you to study your own environment and try to see your techniques. Some techniques can be scaled up. We can scale out some techniques. But first, there are certain techniques that are adapted to the local conditions. For example, there is an insect that we have here in Ekona. It is not in the south. It is the most damaging insect on amaranth, the green. So we have been looking at the life cycle based on this area, the life cycle, the different type of chemical that we can use and how we can suppress it. But we cannot carry that technology and go to the south. They will tell you they don't need it because they don't even have the pest. But it is good for our area and it is good. It is there so that if the pest happen to come in the south area, we already have information on how to deal with it. So we gather those experiences, we share experiences, we try. Those that work, we implement. Those that don't work, we'll keep them aside.
Likewise, Mr. Isaac Galame, who takes care of the hub.
Yeah, my function here is just to take care of the plants, to see how they are growing up, to take care to weed, to water. I see that I put the hub clean. I take care of the plants. I put water in time. Then I search for snails because they are dangerous in my hub. I throw them out not to destroy. It's because that I have is that certain plants are not taking well. Like when you look at this area, you see these plants, they are not well. When you look at the hub, all plants are doing good, but yeah, I have a lot of problems because of the snails. That's the problem I'm facing for now.
So snails are really dangerous to vegetables?
They are really.
Our next drive takes us to Moyuka to visit the vegetable farm of a women cooperative that is being headed by Madame Jewel Elizabeth Abu. Here, there is a beautiful garden of amaranth, moringa, jute mallow, okra, African nightshades, water leaves, and eggplants.
First, welcome, Una, as Una don't can see we. And we're glad for see Una, so as Una don't come. We're glad to with our research partners the way they reward Una, because even though we're not, then we're not for even come to this idea for African vegetable. This vegetable, Nasia, now from that day where they launched the African vegetable, where they give you some of the seeds. So we can now, we nest the seeds and now say, we start trying. Now we are first trying this way, we don't try for year. We get big area where they like 10 hectares the way we do now off-season farming for the way. We know if we start work, but we don't already start some of the seeds when they give you. We don't already nest them for somewhere where when the water they go now, we will start the work. And this one way, we now go see here, we now go see and say, we put some of this, that were own local vegetable added to the one they don't give it. And the reason why we can make this thing hairy for this kind of place where plenty water no dinner, because it will be like and say, me all farmers, they can't see how we research the teach we now how for select kind seed them and how for process them and how for grow them separate, because inside our farms them we do now mix farming where inside each farm we plant okra, maize, potatoes, all in the inside one place. Even this amaranthus when African nightshade, we mix them too with other ones the way we know the separator. So we glad for see and say we get another phase for farming where it be different way go give we more nutrients, because what will be the jam the thing they so the crops until they fight for feed. So they don't even feed well for give we good thing them. So we glad for see and say more we can work so that more we get more knowledge. We make our people they grow fine and our nation. A big tank on a plenty. Now just about some 3 months away, they will discover we. But we, say, we don't grow vegetable in the local way. For more than 10 years, we would grow the vegetable. And our population, it be above 100 to 150 where they work for that area. Wait away the interest we now for work with them. Now the selection of the African seeds where they give we 4 different varieties. And this technique where they show we as we plant this thing, they say nobody so would plant. We do a mixed planting. And from the knowledge now we know say as this thing as it grows, so the nutrients we get it pass the one where you do mixed farming and where you space and give you enough space. So that one a big thing where we get for really go in for the experience where we get them first. We know we know say we get for select seeds, we keep them ready for work. Each time we only wake up find seed na time where we want go do farm away in this case.
Good. Wait the way on a fit teach we.
Okay.
Because they teach you only we the teacher now. Yeah. Since I run the work for 10 years. So on 10 day way on a 2 feet teach we. Where on a fish on a fit bring them for inside the vegetable thing. Now which thing be that?
From way to way we bring up for our own way. We are farming, we used to make our beds with the berry grass, this wet grass for under. So that wet grass now you will believe and say now we are all manure that we know the go find we other manure for any place. We know the add we fertilizer. We the just work naturally so.
Mound they have grass already inside. Buried in. Inside. That's very smart.
We get problem for palaver market saying that we have buyers and they can't meet up with for our field. And they buy the car and now go for big market. They go make plenty money. Pass we for day. So now so we don't enjoy now. We get some news here on the day we say before you want plant, you first get market before you go plant. So we don't already said the thing before we go work out now over 5 weeks.
Problem, as she said, was marketing. But now with the knowledge that they are acquiring from the TAF project, they are already targeting their buyers ahead of time so that they are sure to negotiate prices before even the buyer comes here to meet them in the field.
As you don't visit their farm, you get any difficulties when you face them, as soon as they face, as soon as they grow the vegetables?
The very first big one I say, would go work with a vegetable now for off-land place. Where as water they go, the place they dry for where we are strength for water ram in the past week. So this watering, all man knows say water, now you get everything. And that was soil, when it dry, it be dusty. So today, we are coming together. You don't make us say, move, no say. So other ways than they will, it will help we for come out from that mess. We are don't cry for when I say. We need something like sprinklers and pipes them with the motor pump where if we give you water. Because we are strained for the carry water inside watering cans and buckets in no day. And where we get big area where we work. You want employ boys and all man don't go for bench skin. Work as they no day. So now only that pumps if we can help we will make us say we get continuous watering.
You will plant the vegetable, you chop them.
Where? At the chop vegetable pass all man. In the sense say my vegetable I get plenty kind of way where I don't prepare. pepper. Where if people they be know am, I know how to take my moringa infuser inside water, drink and fast for morning time. And I get powder moringa where they still put it inside chop where they say today. Me we take kenekene into that kind way. We go to give you vitamin A as when I don't tell me today, say kenekene get them. Very easy. Now who when every day you know the chop vegetable? Everybody is eating vegetable in different forms. Either okomobong soup, kenekene for soup, okra, no like all the things that way would work out. So now the vegetable then that way would chop up most.
That was a very enthusiastic Madam Jewel Elizabeth, president of a vegetable cooperative in Moika, talking to the participants. And our last stop takes us at Wututu to visit some large vegetable farms. Wow, everyone is so impressed. And the vegetables are starting to smell good. And so, we drive back to the Irad Ekona complex to have a taste of the delicious traditional African vegetables from the Irad cuisine. And everyone is enjoying his or her meal.
Smells yummy. Bon appétit.
Merci.
What vegetable did you get from the table?
African nightshade, what they call jamanjama.
African nightshade with rice.
I got huckleberry, I got okongobong, I got amaranth, I got chudmalo. It was wonderful.
And the workshop on vegetables that just rounded off, according to some of the participants, was very impressive. Dr. Jean-Claude Bidogeza is a research scientist and a socio-economist with the World Vegetable Center Liaison Office, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
My straightforward impression with the end of this field visits are extremely very positive. We visit some farmer cooperative which have been supported by this project, African traditional leafy vegetables, and where the project provided some, improved seeds of some selected African leaf vegetables. So a part of supplying seeds, with the member of the cooperative have been trained how to do the vegetable farming in a very modern way. So I'm very happy with the output of that collaboration between the cooperative and our centers through our main partner here in IRAD. So as yourself, you have heard from the cooperative members that the net profit they made from the African nightshade is 4 million. That's very amazing. So that's the meaning of that is that we are contributing to lift up the people out of poverty. So when a farmer is making 4 millions per year, that is something very tangible, very palpable. And another that I have to add to next to that, yourself, you have seen that the member of the cooperative are youth. So that meaning that youth have started already to engage in agriculture, which is a sector which has been neglected some years ago. There's some interesting trends which are happening now.
Dr. Balma Yakubu is a research scientist that led the Ghanaian delegation to the workshop.
Hello, Dr. Yakubu. You're welcome to the program Agriculture Life Wire, broadcast over Cameroon Radio Television, Southwest.
Thank you very much.
As a participant and resource person from Ghana to this workshop, I would like to know from you the traditional African vegetables that are being cultivated in Ghana.
Thank you very much. Basically, all the traditional African vegetables that are cultivated in Cameroon that I've seen so far are also cultivated in Ghana. The only exception is African nightshade, which we are trying to encourage people in Ghana to consume as well.
How sensitized are communities in Ghana on the cultivation and consumption of these African leafy vegetables?
Communities in Ghana, especially rural communities, have traditional African vegetables as part of their diets. They cultivate them. Almost every household cultivates traditional African vegetables during the rainy season where they have access to water, especially the northern part of Ghana where water is scarce. So it is part of their diet. Challenge we have there is not with the cultivation and consumption, but how to consume it to get the most nutritional benefit out of it. Basically, we've noticed that the mode of preparation is such that they lose most of the nutrients that would have benefited them. So we are working on that. We are sensitizing communities on improved preparation methods such that the nutrients contained in the vegetables can be retained. So that's what we are doing now.
Okay. What is your take-home lesson from the farms you've visited here in the Southwest region in Cameroon, and what lesson can you leave behind to our farm?
farmers.
My visit has actually been an eye-opener to the extent that I have seen farmers cultivating traditional African vegetables on large acreages. I mean, I've visited farms that are about 3-4 hectares of African nightshade, which I couldn't imagine. In my country, farmers produce traditional African vegetables on very small scale and not on commercial basis. So here, what I've learned actually is that it is possible to commercialize traditional African vegetables on a large scale. So for me, I think that this is a good story that I should take home to encourage our farmers to look at the commercial production of traditional African vegetables on a larger scale than they are doing now, which is mostly domestic, for domestic use. Yes, so I think it is a big eye-opener, really, for me.
We would not go away without having head of this mission tell us more on all about traditional African vegetables. I will be right back. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the program Agriculture and Life Wire, broadcast over the Southwest Regional Station of the CRTV in Boya. We will now invite our main guest on the program, who is in the person of Dr. Abdul Tekwano, who is a regional director of the World Vegetable Center for West and Central Africa.
Hello, Dr. Abdul. You're welcome to the program Agriculture and Life Wire over Cameroon Radio Television, the CRTV, broadcasting here in the Southwest region, precisely in Boya.
Good evening, and thank you for inviting me to this program.
Okay, Doctor. We want to understand that you're one of the participants at the workshop on traditional African vegetables for nutrition and income that has just rounded off at IRAD Ekona. And you are also the regional director of the World Vegetable Center for West and Central Africa. May we know the raison d'etre of this five-day workshop?
Yes, this workshop was meant to be an annual review and planning workshop. We held one last year in Ghana to plan for the second year, and this time we're planning for the third year of the program. And as we did in Ghana last year, we brought all the participants who are part to this program to Cameroon to discuss. That was the reason that.
Okay. What is the importance of these traditional leafy vegetables that is for food security in Africa?
Traditional leafy vegetables have been part of the tradition, as the name say. We have grown up eating those, but unfortunately, of recent, they seem to have disappeared from the diet of many people, particularly in the cities. It was important for us to use the opportunity of the funding by the World Bank through CORAF to revive interest in those traditional leafy vegetables, which we believe are very rich in nutrition, and because of that, they contribute to nutritional security, which is an integral part of food security.
How much sensitized are local African communities on the cultivation and consumption of these traditional African vegetables?
I think they are very much sensitized. All you need to do is look at the side of the roads and you see people selling traditional African vegetables. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, for those countries where the diversity exists still in nature, all they have to do is to collect. But in some places, they have to grow. And I believe that Cameroon is one country where the diversity is still existing in nature and people can harvest in nature. But in the long term, with climate change and many other things happening, unless somebody collects and preserves those species, they are likely to disappear because they are not going to be used. So we're trying to ensure that everybody understands that we need to keep them. That is the part of the sensitization we've been doing.
Dr. Abdul, when we want to talk about vegetables, we begin with the seeds. So how viable are they?
In general, the commercial varieties that we know of, like tomato, have seeds that are quite viable, but the traditional vegetable have not been researched to the same extent as these commercial species that we know of. And as a result, you can expect that the viability of the seed disappears very quickly soon after the seeds have been extracted. We do not advise using seeds that are more than 6 months old, for example, certainly not beyond 1 year old seeds, unless they have been kept in the appropriate conditions.
What method of technology then has research applied in seeds multiplication and let's say processing and even marketing?
Seed production is a very simple and straightforward process. There are two things that one is interested in. The first one is to preserve the genetic purity of the stock. So what we do in general is to have some kind of isolation of what we want to multiply so that there is no contamination from outside. The second element is to provide seeds that are healthy and that are physiologically performing, which means that if you put them in the field, they will grow and give something that does not carry disease. We have developed some approaches for all of that, and you could have seen from our collaborator of IRAD here that he quite masters those approaches. What we need to do maybe is put that in a kind of how-to notice for the use of the growers. We understand that not all growers will be producing seeds. There will be some kind of specialization, and there will be a need for people to learn more about how to do it well so that they can derive some benefit from that.
Let's look at vegetables that people don't usually eat. Oh, we said we are going to skip that one. Okay. We skip, right?
We can talk about it.
Okay. Let's look at vegetables that people don't usually eat and consider them as weeds, such as the blackjack. What can you say about that?
A weed is basically something that you do not grow. I will give an example. We took one eggplant variety from Ghana. It is called DB3, and it is even tested here in Cameroon. Okay. When it went to a place like Tanzania, where they were not familiar with that kind of species, it could have been considered to be a weed. Okay. But thanks to our testing this with the population, this is now a plant that is grown commercially and it is sold in supermarkets. So a weed is simply something that is not known. But if you get people to understand the benefit they could derive from growing and eating it, it moves away from the weed status to something else.
That's quite interesting. Okay, besides the nutritional value of these vegetables, there is also the medicinal value. Maybe you could briefly mention a few which you think have nutritional or medicinal value.
That is going to be a bit difficult for me, given that my organization is at the interface of agriculture and nutrition, and we make no health claims on the work that we do. However, we have heard that species like moringa have several benefits that have to do with curing a number of things, but again, as I say, we are not specialists in that area, and we certainly would not recommend that people eat moringa because it's going to cure a particular disease or another ailment. We are not going to do that. I've also heard that a plant like the spider plant has some properties that makes people who eat it somehow be less prone to catching malaria. Is it substantiated or not? I've read it somewhere. But I am not making claims. I'm not a herbalist in a way.
Yeah, that's interesting, Dr. Abdul. Okay, part of the activities of the 5-day workshop was a field trip to some vegetable farms, one of which was the vegetable hub at IRAD Ikona. What were your observations?
It was quite an interesting experience. Well, I have made a comment to my colleague that it was a pity that it was a relatively small plot, because being small does not allow for the full variety of demonstrable technologies to be displayed. And we've talked about him taking that to a community of growers, and later in the day we were able to see such a community. I believe it was in a place called Wututu, and I believe that could be one way of expanding the best practice hub. And because I'm recommending that it be expanded, it means that I was positively impressed with what I saw.
Oh, that's great. So since you equally visited farms at Moyuka and Wututu, what type of, as far as cultivation technique is concerned, what did you really see with the farmers?
Perhaps a concern at Wututu, I've seen blue leaves. And those blue leaves, I believe, were so because they had been sprayed with some fungicide that may contain copper. And normally those fungicides are not recommended nowadays. So there might be a need for greater sensitization or finding varieties that do not require as much spray as they do. I can understand that for them to get the good harvest of tomato that they are expecting, they need to remove disease pressure, but let's try and find some less detrimental ways of doing so. The other place we went to, Moyuka, I found a group of very dynamic women, and I'm very sensitive to this aspect. They've been in the business for more than 10 years, and yet they found that the contact with research has been a very beneficial one in bringing them to understand that they could improve their practice. And that's, to me, as a researcher, that is sounding like music to my ears. We do research for the producers to benefit from it. And this was a testimony, and you heard from the president of the group that they are now praising IRAD for having come to them. And we are praising IRAD for having gone to them.
Okay. Burkina Faso, Cameroon, are there any similarities in the technique of cultivating traditional African vegetables?
Well, Cameroonians have said it, and I can repeat it, that Cameroon is Africa in miniature. So anything that you see elsewhere, you tend to see it in Cameroon. I don't see any fundamental difference in the way people grow vegetables. The difference might be in the size of the plots. It could be in the location of the plots. It could be that the landscape in Cameroon is quite hilly compared to Burkina Faso, where the land is flat. Both in Cameroon and in Burkina Faso, you need organic manure, you need water, you need the labor to grow, and you need to link your production to the market. And I've seen the same trends in both countries. Perhaps I could also add that sometimes the species used or the varieties used may not be exactly the same. But if you go to northern Cameroon, what you see grown as onion there are the same as you would see grown in Burkina Faso, for example.
Anything to learn from the agro-research scientists here? And what lesson do you think you can also pass out to our farmers, you being a seasoned research scientist?
Well, a scientist has a duty of working with the communities that they are claiming they want to serve. And they should be humble enough to learn from the communities, because there is what we call local knowledge, indigenous knowledge that has been passed from generation to generation. So have the humility to understand that you're not bringing something that may drastically change the way people are doing, only fine-tuning what they were already doing, making some incremental changes. And sometimes all it takes is for the researcher to bring ideas that have been tested in a particular location to the community that has not been aware of that. It's just raising awareness can change a lot. Don't reinvent the wheel when the wheel exists already elsewhere. Just take it and apply it to another vehicle. Maybe it can work. Mm. That's the main lesson I would probably, if I were asked to give a lesson, that's the one I would like to offer as somebody who has spent about 25 years in research. Okay.
For the small-scale farmer, Dr. Abdul, for someone in the city who would like to grow vegetables, someone like me, I would like to grow vegetables, what would you advise me or us out there?
Oh, we have so many different options for growing vegetables on very small areas. You can just take plywood, build a kind of container using this plywood, put some sawdust or some mixture of sawdust and sand, and you can grow your vegetable if you have water. We have also tested what we call mobile gardens, which is simply take an old tire and you fill it with sand and sawdust, and that's enough. I mean, it was not going to give you something that you're going to sell in the marketplace, but it is enough for you to harvest and eat from time to time. So anybody can grow vegetable. You just need the passion for it. You just need to have a little bit of water. You just need to have a little bit of patience. That's all. It doesn't require any kind of real expertise.
Okay, thank you so very much, Dr. Abdul, for being our guest on the program.
It was a pleasure for me to be your guest. And if there is anything else that I can do, please do not hesitate to contact me or contact my team. You know, we have a very good team based in Yaoundé. Yeah. Dr. Jean-Claude, whom I've introduced you to, would be very happy to continue the conversation on this particular topic. And as for me, I will be going back to Mali where I'm based, but having lived in Cameroon for such a long time, I still believe that I belong to this country, if you allow me to come back from time to time.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is how we're going to draw the curtains on the topic on traditional African vegetables. We learned how important these traditional African vegetables are to our diet and health, and how they can help the food security situation in our homes and Africa as a whole. We equally listened to the views of some members of the public on their consumption of traditional African vegetables. To a farmer, a vegetable vendor, to a research scientist from Ira de Kona, Dr. Justine Okole, to the head of a vegetable cooperative in Moyuka, Madame Jew Elizabeth, to some workshop participants, Dr. Jean-Claude Bidogeza of the World Vegetable Center Liaison Office in Yaoundé, to Dr. Maxeline from Burkina Faso, to Dr. Yakubu and Richard from Ghana, and finally to our main guest on the program, Dr. Abdul Tekwano, who is a regional director of the World Vegetable Center, Bamako, Mali. Thanks, dear listeners, for staying with us on the program. Until next week for another edition, I've been your host, Manti Irene Ayonge. Stay blessed and keep listening to more interesting programs on the CLTV.